Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this Free Comic Book Day spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing some of the comics from Free Comic Book Day 2024. James, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, John. Sleepy, but other than that, good.
Yeah, I'm beat, too. We're doing this late in the week, and I'm just tired.
I think we're both feeling it, yeah.
Now, Free Comic Book Day has been going on for, 2 decades now, a little more. I forget exactly how long. And I think the way the publishers have approached it has changed a little over the years. Whether that's good or bad, your mileage may vary. This time around, I think there was about 48 items released as part of Free Comic Book Day. And I take that from mycomicshop.com that has the complete set of Free Comic Book Day 2024 that has 48 items in it.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah.
So I was lazy with my research. I'll fess up to that. But for the low price of $49.95, you can get all 48 as long as supplies last, which I haven't checked today. Maybe they're already gone. I don't know. And there's, again, that's quite a few things. And I got, I don't know, about a dozen or so. I've got mixed feelings on some of these. Some of these I thought were good. One or two actually convinced me, hey, I ought to get something that I wasn't planning on getting. And there were one or two where, man, they almost sold me, but not quite. And then one or two where I was thinking, why did they do that for the Free Comic Book Day offering this year?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm interested to hear which is which. For me, just so you know, this was like one of the first Free Comic Book Days. I used to go all in, whole hog, and then just bring the stuff I didn't care for and just give it to like parents who had kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I really whittled it down to just things I wanted to get because I felt like I was kind of bored last year with reading some of the stuff. And not bored, but I'm like, why am I getting this, you know? It's just creating clutter.
I will be honest, if you had not suggested we do this episode, these would have sat unread. And I say that, you know, fairly confidently, because I had put them next to the Free Comic Book Day stuff from 2023, which is still unread. Because, I mean, this is just another week's worth of comics sometimes for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
So many of these are just reprints of past material in some cases.
That's the ones that I don't care for, especially if I've already read the stuff or if I'm a fan of the property. I'm like, what are we doing here? I mean, if you're introducing someone to number one of, and I'm just going to pick a thing, some DC character, some Marvel character, and the title's already issue 6, what are we doing here? Because nobody's going to pick up the back issues. Maybe you sell a trade, but I doubt it.
Well, I think the best example of, I don't know what they were thinking, was the Marvel Voices Free Comic Book Day offering this year.
Okay, I did not get that one. So what was that?
It had a lead story of, I guess, the Spider-Man from India, and it was a whole Bollywood kind of a thing. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
But it was the only new story in the thing. They reprinted a Spider-Gwen story, I think a Miles Morales story, a Gambit story, and maybe a Shuri story or whatever, all from past Marvel Voices that have been released or whatever.
So what's the point of that? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get people to go pick those things up or what have you. I don't know. I've got mixed feelings on the whole Voices thing anyways. I'm all for diversity and representation and whatnot, but it almost feels like they are, I don't want to say pigeonholing it into its own side little project or something like that, but it gets to where that's all those stories are about versus just telling really good stories from diverse creators or about diverse characters.
Yeah, I picked up one or two of them before, and that was the exact same feeling I had. It just felt like it's other than, separate from, not part of the Marvel universe. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't pertain to anything I want to be, you know, dive into. So I'm good.
I've had the same feeling on the Pride stuff from DC.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just like, okay, it doesn't really tie in. It's just to say, here's this thing, and I don't, who knows, maybe people buy them and really get into them. I feel like it's so other than and so separate.
I think part of it is I'm not the target audience. And I say that as much because I think there's a target audience for each specific, you know, subset of culture and whatnot But I also think there is a audience of people that are so gung-ho about representation and all of that stuff, that they'll pick up anything that's representing, regardless of what it's representing.
Yeah, that's true.
I got nothing against it, and I think representation, again, is good, but doing it for the sake of doing it is where I got other things I want to do.
Yeah. To your point, an idea or an interesting thing that I feel like I just found out is I've been a big fan of James Tynion as a writer. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of horror stuff. Nice House on a Lake, and he's coming up with I think it's called Nice House on the Sea. And I'm a big fan of his stuff. And he had a free comic book day thing. But I just started noticing, I'm like, man, most of the characters are like gay characters, which is fine. I don't care one way or another. But it's because that's who he is. And I didn't know this whole time. It was just written so well that I was able to enjoy the story, even though that's not reflective of me. That's how you incorporate pride into comics. You don't make it almost like grating and feel like forcing. You just create a great story that happens to incorporate LGBTQ characters, and then I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. Tell good stories, and then the acceptance will come. If all you're marketing it on is the representation or whatnot, I think you've either turned off the audience you need to be going after, or I don't know. I don't understand is a lot of it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So what was one of the ones you would say was kind of a big win for you?
Okay. The biggest win, there was two that were right up there. But for me, the biggest win was Gannibal from Ablaze. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because, okay, I kept seeing it solicited because it's completed in the previous catalog. And they're like, okay, the Gannibal, you can buy the big box set of it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to grab this free comic book day thing because I just want to see what in the hell it is, because I stopped buying manga from Ablaze because I wasn't enjoying a lot of the stuff they did. I forgot I even picked it up or chose to buy it from Cowabunga. And I opened it up and it was fantastic. It was a terrific story. It's Gannibal. It's about cannibals. It's about a cop goes to a small provincial town in Japan, and the other cop kind of disappeared from everyone. And it had all the right tones where it got me really excited. I'm like, I want to pick up that box set. I thought it was great. It's realistic art in manga, which is very rare. It's not that anime cartoony stuff that you typically get. It reminded me of I Am a Hero, which is the zombie story that I really loved.
Yeah, that was one. It's like manga horror story.
Not for you.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah. Did you notice the art was different in it than most manga? Because you picked it up, right?
It was one that I noticed. It was more realistic. It still had that manga feel to it.
Yeah, it does have a feel to it, yeah. But it had more, it wasn't like the cutesy characters, you know what I mean?
No. I was, more turned off by the horror aspect, because that's just, I don't like horror.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. If you're a fan of horror like me, that was a surprise. And I think I liked it so much because I went into it not expecting anything.
Yeah.
That I thought it was just terrific.
There are a couple of these things that, there's no way they're going to sell me on it, and almost the better it is, the more they're not going to sell me on it in some cases.
Yeah.
And this kind of fell in that.
Okay. How about you? What was something that stood out to you? Because I have some other ones, and I have a feeling you're going to talk about one that I really enjoyed.
I got three that really kind of were the highlights for me, and I'm going to go probably in progressing order and save the best for last.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to start with Gatchaman. I really enjoyed that. The art style was evocative of what I remember of the cartoon.
Cool. And someone did a previous clip on that recently that it was coming out.
Yeah. I've already pre-ordered the stuff, so, I mean, it was easy sell there. And it's interesting because there was one or two things where it looked like one character's kind of got either an ulterior motive or a backup plan or I don't know what. But it's like, okay, there's a story point here that's kind of fun. I was happy that I liked it because, again, I've already pre-ordered the stuff. It had some backup features. One was a backup story on one of the characters. Another was kind of setting up the big bad, all of which I thought did an effective job. And I think Mad Cave, who's doing this, I mean, they've been around 10 years, and I'm sure I've been aware of them most of that time, but don't think of them much, because there's not a whole lot they've done that it's just in my wheelhouse. So them going after properties like this, I think is just a ton of fun, and I'm looking forward to this one.
That's awesome. I'm glad you liked it. I didn't pick that one up, but I'm interested in it, because I think it was Brawlinator who did the clip on it. And then you reading that, it's piqued my interest. And I haven't pre-ordered the stuff, so you'll have to tell me what you think of it when we do the monthly spotlight, and maybe it's something I can go pick up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is it's kind of in my wheelhouse. It's not exactly a Super Sentai team, but it's very adjacent.
All right, cool.
You know, you've got the colored costumes with the same basic theme. It fits my sensibility.
Hey, that works. All right, you want another one that I enjoyed?
Yeah.
Okay, this one came out of nowhere. I wouldn't say out of nowhere. I think that us doing the book club and us having done a back issue spotlight on Flash Gordon really piqued my interest, because I think it's Matt Cave that's doing the Flash Gordon series.
It is.
The relaunch of it. And I just listened to my previous spotlight where Viking Joker, Marvin, he did the clips on that. And I'm going to pick up all that stuff, including the old strips. But this was just Jeremy Adams book. And he did The Flash, which I didn't care for, but he's doing, I think, Green Lantern right now, which I am enjoying. And it's basically Flash as part of this elaborate ruse in there with Zarkov and, you know, how they plan some stuff and Ming's kind of fooled into thinking something happened with The Flash that didn't happen. And it sets up the story really great. The art was terrific in it. I would say it's not quite as good as the spotlight that we did, or I mean the book club we did, because...
The Dynamite version from 2014, yeah.
Yeah, just because I can't think of the guy's name
Doc
right now.
Shanner.
Yeah, because he's such a just iconic artist. But the art was solid in here. I really enjoyed it. And it was nice that at the very end of the thing, one, I can go and pre-order the comic. So they did it as a pre-order thing. So here's the free comic book day. You can pre-order the comic. You can pre-order the back issues of this stuff. And also they had a chart at the very end. They said, here's the release of all the Flash Gordon stuff we're coming out with and the dates it's coming out.
This was not the only comic to do it, and I'm trying to remember which other ones did, if it was anyone other than Mad Cave. And I think it was. But I like having the, okay, you read this, here's what we're doing that you may be interested in, kind of, in this case, not only month by month, but they had a swim lane for the ongoing series for Flash Gordon, the Defenders of the Earth, the quarterly they're doing, which I don't know anything about, and then the reprint of the Sunday strips.
Yeah, and it was just so pertinent because we did this book club in Back Issue Spotlight, and we had picked it like a month and a half or 2 months ago. We had no idea Matt Cave was relaunching this stuff. And so it's just serendipity that it happened like this, and I feel like everyone that was part of that book club, we all got excited when we saw this. So for me, I'm really excited about Flash Gordon, which is such a weird thing to say for a 1930s character.
Yeah. There were one or two things with the story that it's like, okay, evocative of the movie, but not a retread of it. I thought overall, this was a really good sales pitch for the new series.
Yep.
Again, appreciated the calendar of upcoming products and stuff. And then the other thing that I'm going to credit them for, but probably was a paid ad, was they had a whole page on the 7-inch action figures by NECA.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I'm like, the Prince Voltam one from the Flash Gordon movie, I mean, it's a dead ringer for Brian Blessed in the movie. So I was looking at that, and I'm like, okay, not only have they told me what comics I can go buy, they've given me a bunch of toys I could potentially go get. So to me, that was nice.
It was really cool, and I think it's so funny or just interesting that here we are, a group of guys. This was way before us. This is our grandfather's stories, and here we are excited about it. In 2024. Just crazy.
Yeah. I think that's a testament to the property, to the ownership of it, and the creative teams that have taken care of it over the years, decades and stuff. And then again, seeing some action figures, and the ads in a checklist format. Literally, it says collect them all. And I'm like, ooh, that one looks interesting. That one looks cool. I think that's something that they should do more of. That's where I think Hasbro really missed the ball. On the Power Rangers stuff. They could have had a free comic book day thing every day, every year for the last 7-8 years, however long they've been doing the comic, be promoting the toys you can go get at the toy stores, the ones that are at the Lightning Collection and stuff like that. And they really could have been being a lot more synergistic than they were.
Yeah, they really could have.
So this, I think, not only was a good story and a good issue, it was a good sales pitch and I think an effective use of free comic book day.
Yeah, I felt like it was probably the best sales pitch out of my free comic book day things that I received.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I wouldn't say it was the best, but it was my second pick of the three.
Ah, well, there you go. All right, cool. Well, sorry to steal your second pick. What will be your pick now?
This was the best of the ones, and part of what edged it out over the other two was I don't think I'd even realized this comic was coming out.
Oh, what is that?
Dynamite's got a new Johnny Quest series coming out, apparently.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the comic here was written by Joe Casey with Sebastian Perez on the art. It had the look and feel of the cartoon, or at least close enough to it. It was an interesting story, albeit maybe a little short. Actually, no, I guess it goes for a fair amount of the thing, because they also pitch one or two other things, Space Ghost and whatnot in the back. So maybe half the comic is focused on Johnny Quest. But it was an interesting enough pitch and a good enough story that I'm like, you know, I think I need to pick this up.
Nice. All right. That's one I didn't get out as well. But so it was really good then.
Yeah. Again, intrigued enough by the Johnny Quest stuff to think I should pick that up. I'm already getting the Thundercat stuff it was pitching. I've already got Space Ghost on pre-order, but really everything they had in there was stuff I was interested in, and I thought it did a good job with the Johnny Quest stuff. Because the rest, it's like I just kind of checked out. It's like, yeah, Thundercats, I know that. I've read an issue or two already, you know?
Very so, nice.
There's some of this with the timing on what do you put into your free comic book day thing that's not always cut and dry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. I'll tell you, for my last pick, basically, there's one other one that I want to talk about, or maybe a couple things that I'd mention. But another one that I really enjoyed, and this is no surprise, Conan Battle of the Blackstone.
I figured you were going to talk about that. How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, Titan's doing a great job with the property. I will say there has been some rumbling on the Slack channel that the first issue of Short of Conan was epic and fantastic. The second issue kind of went downhill. But overall, they've been doing a really great job with the property. James Allison is a writer with the ability to see the past. And I looked up James Allison, and he's actually part of the lore and mythos around this thing. So I'm like, oh, it's a real character that they talked about way back. And so you basically get a story about Conan and the Aquilonians fighting the Picts, and some things happen there. It's a just big action issue, and it kind of gives you nods and hints to what's been happening in the main Conan series without retreading and giving you the exact same info. They'll be like, oh, this kind of happens, and here's how this ties in. And it was just a lot of fun. I felt like they did a good job. I had fun with it. And the only thing that even came close to this was maybe the Blood Hunt or the Absolute Power, but I felt like this was a little bit better than both of those.
Well, it's interesting you compare it to those two, because it seems to be very clearly setting up a crossover of all of the Robert E. Howard material and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And maybe that'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm not really into any of the properties, so I'm like the last person who's capable of judging, is this going to work or not? But I did find that it was kind of pitching that kind of hardcore an interesting move.
Yeah, they've been doing it in the main Conan series outside of Savage Sword of Conan, which they do have other characters. And I will say this, for me, it worked. And I was like, okay, this is cool. So they're just doing something different, which I was so afraid that they were just going to rehash the old stories that we've read from Marvel. And it's definitely stuff that's new, which is refreshing.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. So, what was your last one? I'm sorry.
Well, we covered Gatchaman, Flash Gordon, and Johnny Quest. I've got a few others to talk about, but those were the big wins for me.
Okay, what did you think of the two big event things? Because you had Absolute Power from DC, and you had Blood Hunt from Marvel. How did those sit with you?
Absolute Power, I thought, was a decent teaser for the upcoming series. It set it up and whatnot. There was a lot of focus on this Haywire character, who's the founder of the Terror Titans, not to be confused with the Teen Titans, and also not to be confused with the Haywire series DC did before the turn of the century. Big push on Amanda Waller and all that stuff. I'm pretty much going, I don't want to say all in, but I'm going deeper into Absolute Power than I really ought to.
Yeah.
Picking up the various things they've already solicited. It's not going to be enough for me to go pick up an ongoing title just because it's tying in, but if the pitch sounds decent for the issue, maybe. But I think part of it is I'm at that point, and I think I've been at this point for a while, but they really need to come out of this event in a good place for me to be excited about DC.
Yeah. You want to know what's funny is, like, literally, I keep saying this, I just listened to the Preview Spotlight episode yesterday, and because I was listening to that, you were talking about dipping into those three-issue miniseries for behind Absolute Power.
Mm-hmm.
And I was legit going to skip them. I may pick them up. So Preview Spotlight clips even work for you. you're selling me there. I might try them out. You know, the Amanda Waller, you know, her issue. I'm like, I really don't like Amanda Waller. I'm like, whatever. But I don't know if I'll pick that up. But the three-issue miniseries that shows the event from the bad guy's point of view, I'm like, it could work. I'll try it.
I'm pretty sure James Gunn has said he's going to use Amanda Waller either for a movie or as the basis of something or whatnot.
So maybe I should get it.
Well, I'm wondering if they decided to tell her origin before he did.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So I'll admit, I'm a little lukewarm on the whole concept here of absolute power, but it's Wade and Dan Mora, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But I'm more curious, not only is it a good story, but do they come out of this having righted the ship in kind of the overall direction of the DC universe?
Yeah.
Which is a tall ask and unlikely to happen just in general.
No, I agree with you. I would say I wish they had a tiny bit more story because it seemed to end really quick, which I understand, but it just seemed like really, really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could have been a better pitch for the whole thing, but it was an okay. It was a decent one.
Yeah. It got me like, okay, I can read this. Now, what's interesting, though, that's in previews, whereas Blood Hunt, the Free Comic Book Day, I actually have Blood Hunt number one in hand, and spoiler alert, we haven't talked about it yet, we haven't recorded, but I've read it. So that's coming out at the same time as Free Comic Book Day is the Blood Hunt number one. So people could turn around and pick it up off the shelf.
That goes to the timing of, are you trying to get the people who are in the store, or are you trying to get the people who pre-order, which includes the retailers?
Exactly.
There's an argument on both sides of that.
Exactly. Well, Mad Cave went with the pre-order, Marvel went with the turn around and pick it up off the rack. And I don't know what strategy is better, honestly.
Well, I think both reflect the position the publishers are in.
Yeah.
For Mad Cave, it's much smarter to do the pre-order stuff because it's not like every store is going to be carrying their books.
That's true.
Every store carries Marvel.
Yeah, every store carries Marvel, and they know they'll have it, and they can reorder variant cover print run two if they need to.
Yeah. So there's no reason for Marvel to pitch Blood Hunt now for it to come out 3 months later. It's counterproductive for them to do that.
Now, I don't think you picked up Blood Hunt. I could be mistaken, but did you buy that?
I did not. I skipped Blood Hunt.
Did you pick up the Free Comic Book Day?
I did.
How'd that sit with you?
It completely did not sell me on Blood Hunt.
Okay.
Admittedly, it's a tough sell. Let's get bloody, let's get violent, all this kind of, you know, and the whole vampires and all that stuff. I felt this issue, it just jumped around too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Blood Hunt wasn't going to be for me. Now I'm wondering if I should actively skip the tie-in issues of titles I'd otherwise get.
Okay, so it left a really bad taste in your mouth. I think the Free Comic Book Day issue didn't do the event much justice, and I feel like the event itself started off a little wonky for me, and so I had to change my mindset so that I wouldn't be jaded. There's a lot to explain there. I just said a lot of unpacking. But like literally, I was looking, I was like, this is stupid. It doesn't make sense. And I'm like, okay, take off my blinders, pretend like I'm 18 years old, action and adventure, dumb fun. It works on that level. But as far as the story and plot, it's ridiculous. Because things that they show the perspective of characters in there, I'm like, I'm reading that character's book. That is not how that character is.
Yeah.
And specifically, without ruining it, Blade. I'm just reading about Blade. And I'm like, where'd that happen?
Man, if there's one title or one character they got to get right for this thing, Blade's it.
Yeah, and I read it and I was like, I'm reading Blade. Where did this happen? What? Okay, you have some explaining to do.
Wow.
So I was just kind of surprised. And off the air, I'll tell you, since you're not reading it, I'll just give you a heads up.
Cool. Yeah, this is, like I said, one that I knew it wasn't going to be for me, but it was free, so I figured why not. The backup with Jubilee?
Yeah, how did that work for you, the X-Men thing?
I thought it was interesting.
I like the X-Men part better.
Yeah, so did I, but I mean, go figure. What I was disappointed with is I thought it failed as a sales pitch because while I liked the story and want to see it through, I don't know where to go do that.
That's where I was. I was like, okay, I'm interested. You guys got me, piqued my interest with this X-Men stuff, with the Jubilee story. You know, she's like off on her bike, rolling past the mansion, getting chased off. This stuff hasn't launched, so it's almost like the X stuff, they're pitching the solicits, whereas Blood Hunt, they're pitching the racks, which is weird.
It's funny because they've got, you know, From the Ashes, and they list all the titles, X-Men, Exceptional X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Phoenix, X-Factor, Storm, NYX, X-Force, Wolverine, beginning in July, and I'm like, that's great. And then there's a thing at the end that implies Uncanny X-Men is where this would continue? But that should have been at the bottom of that last page of continued in.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been good. Because you're kind of left, if you don't read that stuff, you're like, well, okay, that was cool, but where does it go? But I agree with you. That X-Men story was interesting. It made you want to go read that story and it will come out in July, apparently.
Yeah.
Or something about like that.
It was much more effective than the Bloodhunt stuff for me, but I don't think anybody who knows me is the least bit surprised by that.
Yeah, I kind of figured that with you.
Bloody, violent event. Gee, I'm not in. Go figure.
But I'll tell you what, those were kind of like the big ones for me, because the other stuff, none of it really kind of caught my interest. Did you pick up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That was the other one I was going to ask you about.
That was actually one of the ones I wanted to mention, because
okay,
I thought it was a miss conceptually for Free Comic Book Day.
Okay, because I didn't pick it up, but I know Jason Aaron's going to be writing the new one. So is that what that was?
No.
Okay, that wasn't that. Okay.
This was the whole thing about Night Watchers by Junie Ba and Pharaoh Pei.
Oh.
And it wasn't bad, but I'm like, man, you just are relaunching the main Turtles stuff. Why isn't this selling me on that?
Yeah, and Junie Ba is very distinct.
Yeah.
And, oh, wow. That is a total miss, because they're pitching you something that's not going to even be something that's not, they're not even going to be selling in July, because they're going to be selling a Jason Aaron story.
Well, and again, what are you better off selling? Whatever this other Night Watcher thing is, which I'm assuming is a mini series or something like that, maybe, I don't know. Or the new relaunch of the ongoing series by a fairly big name creator.
Okay, I'm happy with my decision because I chose not to pick it up. I'm not a TMNT fan. You guys did a book club, and that's one of the few I missed. Because I was like, do it without me, because I'm not really a fan of the
property. You say you guys, I didn't attend it either. So those guys.
Okay, those guys did it, yeah. And they did it, and it was, that's fine, but I'm not a fan of it. Not that I hate it, it's just I'm not a fan. And so, but I was like, okay, Jason Aaron, I'm going to give it a try. And I was so worried, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to pick that up. So now I'm happy, because I would have felt like a waste of time and space.
Yeah, well, I think they wasted time and space. They should have pitched the ongoing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's too bad. Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, and the rest of the stuff I got, there was some so-so stuff and stuff that just didn't excite me, you know? I mean, I don't want to be down on anything. I mean, there's like weird stuff like Barda, the kid's book, you know? I'm like, okay, not for me.
Yeah, that was one that the minute I opened it, oh, this is what this is. Yep, not for me. And there were a couple others that I'd open it and yep, hard pass.
Yep. And it's Star Wars, I opened it, I was like, oh, this could be cool. And then I were like, okay, yeah, they're too deep into this and I've missed too much. I'm beyond this. Okay, see ya.
Yeah, the Star Wars, the main Star Wars one, was tying into the Darth Vader series. It looked good, but again, I'd gotten out of those comics a while back. I'm not looking to get back in.
Me too.
One of the other ones I wanted to talk about was The Valiants.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of that?
I thought it was an interesting setup for the new Valiants series. Seems to feature Ninjak and R1. I don't know if that's an early ride prototype or what, but it looked interesting. Almost made me think, should I be getting this or not? But then I hit the backup feature. Again, Ninjak is the main character in the Valiants, it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the backup feature is Ninjak versus Roku.
Medusa, right?
Well, I'm like, I've been out of the Valiant stuff long enough. I don't really know who Roku is. I don't really care who Roku is. But it makes me think that Ninjak's adventures in the Valiants might be intertwined with this other series. It might not be. But it actively kind of unsold me on both.
Yeah, that's how I was. I was like, eh, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left that the same way. I was like, not good.
They almost got me thinking maybe I should get the Valiant stuff, and they come out with so few things to have one character and two things simultaneously. It's like, I don't know about this. And then there was nobody else in the Valiants really featured that made me think, well, this is other character is good enough, so maybe I'll get it for that too. So swing and a miss.
Yeah, me too. Other than that, the only other two that I really would even mention, like there's a Spider-Man. I was like, Ultimate Universe. It was kind of okay. But I mean, The Worlds of James Tynion from Boom. If you're a James Tynion fan or Something is Killing the Children, you'll want to pick that up. And then the Energon-verse, which was the Image, I kind of checked out of all of the G.I. Joe Transformer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just like, I don't need to get all this because it's a lot of stuff. And so I kind of left all that behind. And the only thing I'm getting is Void Rivals. And the one thing they gave us in there in the Void Rivals was like, oh, look at these Transformers that are going to be coming into the series. And I'm like, that's exactly what I don't want.
Yeah, I was going through that one, and I'm like, Transformers, I've already passed on that. Void Rivals, I've already passed on that. G.I. Joe, I've already passed on that. None of it made me think I should reassess or get into it. And there was an aspect of it where all of those things, and it's all Skybound, so it's not surprising. It had kind of that Kirkman feel to it.
All of it, yeah.
And there's almost like a quasi-house style to a lot of his comics.
Yes.
He's got different artists and stuff, but there's a similarity in just the way the characters are depicted.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's about speed with the project versus there are not going to be clean lines in any of his books.
Yeah, and it's not a bad art style either.
It's not. Daniel Warren Johnson works on a lot of things. Excellent. I don't like him on robots. It just, for me, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just there's a little bit of a cartoony blockiness.
Yep.
Almost Kirby-esque influence in places. It's hard to describe, but it's one of those that a lot of his books have a feel to them.
You pick it up and read it, and if you didn't tell me it's Skybound, I could probably guess it's Skybound if I got to the back.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like that. Yeah. That's funny, because I felt like that too. I'm like, huh, yeah.
And he's one that I would have expected to leverage the Free Comic Book Day a little bit better.
I would agree. Like some kind of jumping on point, some kind of like, and I'm not saying it wasn't, maybe there's the trades and stuff, but some kind of like, I don't know, just something. I just felt like, we didn't even do any Walking Dead. It was pure Energon, so it was purely not for me, except for Void Rivals, which got me a little bit less excited because that's the one thing I don't like about Void Rivals is when they put Transformers in there, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Other
one I wanted to mention was the Overstreet Guide to Collecting Comics.
Oh, I didn't get that. How was it?
It is a comic book story about collecting comics, kind of an introductory, I don't say lecture or whatever. Think Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud, except way less academic, and it's Understanding Comic Collecting.
Okay. All right.
So it's, you know, here's why you would bag and board your comics, how many can fit in a box, things of that sort. If you're new to collecting, I think this is a really good thing to consider picking up. And it's got some other stuff in there and whatnot around, you know, comic stores and things like that. They're also pitching Overstreet Access and some stuff and a little on kind of the history of comics and, hey, read what you enjoy, that sort of a thing. So it's one that I've been getting there. Free Comic Book Day stuff. I think every year they've had it just because, you know, I'm process junkie. I like the Overstreet price guide and stuff. This is, again, kind of a way to get people into the hobby from just reading the comics to being a little bit more involved in the collecting and all of that kind of stuff.
Very cool. Well, one other thing I was going to tell you about this Free Comic Book Day, I'm a little bit disappointed in myself because I got my shipment from Deep Discount Comics, aka Cowabunga, Eric, and my package came and I opened it up and I had my free comic books in there. And then I saw on the Slack channel people were talking about it. And so it was like Saturday around 4:30 p.m. I was like, oh yeah, it's Free Comic Book Day. So I completely missed it. I didn't go to a comic shop. And usually I like to do something, you know, just go to one and just look around and, you know, maybe contribute locally, help out the small shop here in town. But I didn't do anything. I forgot all about it. And I feel like a worse comic book person because I didn't do anything for Free Comic Book Day.
I used to go hit all the shops and stuff like that, but that was years ago. I had some editing. I think I was working on the monthly comic spotlight. So I had some other stuff to be doing. And again, I'd gotten my stuff from Eric, so didn't really feel the need to go hit the crowds and stuff like that. But in the past, I've treated it as just, you know, open house for the different shops and kind of an amnesty day for one or two of the shops locally that had displeased me in the past. Not that I've spent money at them since, but I'd at least walk in there and take free stuff.
Yeah.
But just the last few years, really since the pandemic, I haven't been doing that.
Yeah, I kind of completely forgot. I didn't even know. But anyways, so my Free Comic Book Day was opening a package and silence in my room. A brown box. But I'll tell you what, there were some things that I really enjoyed, and I hope people did enjoy the stuff that they got, and I hope people who went out there with their families and kids and stuff like that had a really good time, because it can be a lot of fun.
It can be. It's a great way to get kids, coworkers, and stuff like that into reading comics in a, you know, no financial investment kind of a way. It's a good opportunity to go check out the local stores if you haven't been to them in a while and things like that. Again, I chose not to do that this time, but I probably should have. There's a store literally a mile and a half from where I'm sitting here that I've known about for I don't know, 6-7 months. I just haven't gone in yet, and that would have been a great time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so now we got to make it a goal. The next year, Free Comic Book Day, you make it to that shop, and I'll go to mine.
Yeah, I may go to it sooner than that. I just don't know, you know.
Hey, that's true.
Got to be an impetus to, other than just, hey, let's go there and spend money, because I can spend plenty of money as it is.
Exactly.
Again, there were a couple of things that I was excited about, a few of the things where it's like I think they could have generated more sales if they had actually pitched something else. And I am a little disappointed in some cases how much of this is a reprint of other material versus a new jumping on point or another attempt to increase the accessibility and act as an on-ramp into the ongoing stuff.
Yeah, it seems like most of the publishers kind of missed the point of Free Comic Book Day, but the ones who got it really hit the nail on the head. And so I'm hoping there's good things for like a Mad Cave and for a Blaze and... Oh, who was the company that did the book that you liked? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, Johnny Quest? That was Dynamite.
Johnny Quest, Dynamite, yeah. I hope they get some good things from it. So those guys who did it really well, I hope they reap some rewards and some dividends from this.
I hope so. I just wonder if the kind of comics we're getting for Free Comic Book Day are a result of the lack of any series benefit in past years for the publishers. And therefore, they've been cutting their costs and reprints are easier and faster to do anyways. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, speed up the process. Could be.
Well, if you're not going to see a big bump in sales, do you want to invest a lot of money in creating the content, putting the comics out there for free? It's not a good business decision.
No, that's true. I'm hoping Flash Gordon sells 75,000 copies. Fingers are crossed. I don't think it'll happen, but I'm hoping.
I hope Flash Gordon as well, Gotchaman, Johnny Quest, the ones where I think they actually did a good sales pitch. Because let's face it, Absolute Power and Blood Hunt were going to sell how they were going to sell, and I don't think these two Free Comic Day things made a bit of difference.
No, they didn't. The variant covers did more than the Free Comic Book Day did.
Likewise, I don't think Barda and Barkham Asylum from DC are really going to make those projects sell any more than they might have otherwise. Same with the Marvel Voices in Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah. I open up Barda. I'm like, this isn't Big Barda. What is this?
Yeah.
This isn't the fourth world, is it?
It is. It's just a...
It is.
Young adult graphic novel version of it, I guess.
Yeah, the version I don't want to read.
It's not targeted to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's for kids.
So, again, hopefully everybody found stuff they were interested in. And again, if you really want to go get all 48, last I looked, which was a few days ago, MyComicShop.com had the Free Comic Book Day complete set for 2024 for just $49.95, which is about over a dollar a piece for what was offered for free.
There you go.
Seems a little expensive, but if you're chasing one of the things you can't get otherwise, they may have the individual one as well. So, you know, something to think about.
There you go.
Anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool.
Recording clips for the Preview Spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the Preview Spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next Preview Spotlight.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.